Good morning. We're the worship team for Madera Church, and I want to share with you a psalm. It's Psalm 30, verse 11 says, "You have turned for me my morning into dancing." So I encourage you that this morning you dance with us. It's going to be a little different. I hope you enjoy. Also, you're going to be having a Spanish lesson, so we're going to sing a worship song in Spanish. Amen. Let's do this. I'm trading my sorrows, I'm trading my shame, I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness, I'm trading my pain, I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen. I'm treading my sorrow, I'm treading my shame. Laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness, I'm trading my pain, I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen. Cambiaré mi tristeza, cambiaré mi vergüenza, los entregaré por el gozo de Dios. Cambiaré mi dolor y mi enfermedad, los entregaré por el gozo de Dios. Sí, Señor, sí, sí, Señor, sí, Señor, sí, sí, Señor, sí, Señor, sí, sí, Señor, amén. Sí, Señor, sí, sí, Señor. Señor, sí, sí, Señor, sí, Señor, sí, sí, Señor, amén. Cambiaré mi tristeza, cambiaré mi vergüenza, los entregaré por el gozo de Dios. Cambiaré mi por el gozo de Dios. Sí, Señor, sí, sí, Señor. Sí, Señor, sí, sí, Señor. Sí, Señor, sí, sí, Señor. Amén. Sí, Señor, sí, sí, Señor. Sí, Señor, sí, sí, Señor. Sí, Señor, sí, sí, Señor.
Well, thank you for joining us for another weekend together with Madera Church. And as you can see, we're doing things a little bit differently today. And we originally actually planned to do the rest of our series for What Matters to Madera Church. And we have two more values that we want to cover. But because of what's happening in our world, we decided that we wanted to be a church that's actually applying the values that we've already shared with you and not just talk about them, but actually engage them. And so if you've been following with us, the things that we've shared so far is that God's word matters to Madera Church, that prayer is a priority for us, that's foundational for all that we do, that we want to worship both together and corporately, to do life together in home groups, share the hope of Jesus with others, and show grace to the people that God has placed in our life. And we feel like because of what's happening in our world, and especially right here in the United States, this is an opportunity for us to share God's truth, how he wants to meet us where we're at in the midst of this situation. We're going to go through from the beginning. We're not going to read the whole Bible, but we're going to go from Genesis all the way to Revelation and try to see that the Bible speaks to issues like racism and prejudice and equality. And we can learn from God's truth from beginning to end, and it can shape our hearts. We also want to be a church that is willing to change, even though we have a plan and had a plan in place to do something different today. We want to acknowledge that God is in control, and we want to follow his lead. And he's led us to just simply bring you some of his truth on what's happening in our world, and then just spend some time praying, because as we said, our second top priority or value is prayer. And we don't want to just say that that's the case. We want to lead by example and show you that we rely on God for all things. And so what I'd like to do is introduce you to the two other faces on the screen. You've actually met Pastor Link already. Link is our small group, or our home group and outreach director, and he'll continue to be sharing messages and different things with us. And then we have what I'll call the chairman of our leader team, Howard Bryan. And Howard has been instrumental from even before I joined the Madera Church team to really just lay the foundation for what God has been doing with this church. And so it's an honor to have both of these guys with us. And we're going to just take some time right now and just take turns reading some different passages of scripture. This is different in that I'm not going to try to teach it as we read through it. We just want God's word to speak. And so just listen to these passages, let them speak to your heart, let the Holy Spirit reveal whatever it is he wants to do in these moments. And then once we go through a handful of passages, then we'll just spend some time praying and giving this situation in our hearts to the Lord. And so I guess I'll pray before we dive into these passages. Father God, I thank you for Link and Howard and the rest of our ministry team and our launch team. And I'm grateful, Lord, that right now we can gather virtually to give you our cares. Something that has been heavy on my heart is what's happening in our nation. And I believe that you want Christ followers to stand up in the midst of this and to be the light that you called us to be, and to look at the truth that speaks to, as we've already said, every single situation of life, your truth can help navigate. And we want to own that truth right now, Lord, and give you the opportunity to speak to us. And so we give you this time. We ask that you would allow your Holy Spirit to speak through these passages and really bind our hearts together as we pray as well. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, well, I will start with Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. It says this: "So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them."
Exodus 23:2. "You must not follow the crowd in doing wrong. When you are called to testify in a dispute, do not be swayed by the crowd to twist justice."
Leviticus 19:15 says, "Do not twist justice in legal matters by favoring the poor or being partial to the rich and powerful. Always judge people fairly."
The second part of 1 Samuel 16:7 says, "The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart."
Psalm 36:10. "Pour out your unfailing love on those who love you. Give justice to those with honest hearts."
Proverbs 31:8-9 says, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Ensure justice for those being crushed. Yes, speak up for the poor and helpless, and see that they get justice.
Isaiah 1:17, learn to do good, seek justice, help the oppressed, defend the cause of orphans, and fight for the rights of widows.
Isaiah 29:21, those who convict the innocent by their false testimony will disappear. A similar fate awaits those who use trickery to pervert justice and who tell lies to destroy the innocent.
Micah 6:8 says, O people, the Lord has told you what is good, and this is what he requires of you, to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God.
Mark 12:29-31. Jesus replied, the most important commandment is this. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these.
John 7:24, Jesus said, look beneath the surface so you can judge correctly.
John 13:34-35 says, so now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples.
Acts 10:34-36. Then Peter replied, I see very clearly that God shows no favoritism. In every nation, he accepts those who fear him and do what is right. This is the message of the good news for the people of Israel, that there is peace with God through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all.
Acts 17:26. From one man he created all the nations throughout the whole earth.
Romans 2:11. For God does not show favoritism.
Galatians 3:26-29. For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And all who have been made united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ, like putting on new clothes. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus.
Ephesians 4:29-32. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you.
Colossians 3:12-13. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults, and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others.
Galatians 6:2. Share each other's burdens, and in this way obey the law of Christ. If you think you are too important to help someone, you are only fooling yourself. You are not that important.
Philippians 2, 3, and 4. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too.
1 Timothy 5:21. I solemnly command you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus and the highest angels to obey these instructions without taking sides or showing favoritism to anyone.
James 2, verses 1 through 9. My dear brothers and sisters, how can you claim to have faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ if you favor some people over others? For example, suppose someone comes into your meeting dressed in fancy clothes and expensive jewelry, and another comes in who is poor and dressed in dirty clothes. If you give special attention and a good seat to the rich person, but you say to the poor one, you can stand over there or else sit on the floor, well, doesn't this discrimination show that your judgments are guided by evil motives? Listen to me, dear brothers and sisters. Hasn't God chosen the poor in this world to be rich in faith? Aren't they the ones who will inherit the kingdom he promised to those who love him? But you dishonor the poor. Isn't it the rich who oppress you and drag you into court? Aren't they the ones who slander Jesus Christ, whose noble name you bear? Yes, indeed. It is good when you obey the royal law as found in the scriptures. Love your neighbor as yourself. But if you favor some people over others, you are committing a sin. You are guilty of breaking the law.
1 John 2:11. But anyone who hates a fellow believer is still living and walking in darkness. Such a person does not know the way to go, having been blinded by the darkness.
First John 3:18. Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions.
1 John 4:20 and 21. If someone says, I love God, but hates a fellow believer, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? And he has given us this command: those who love God must also love their fellow believers.
Revelation 7, 9 and 10. After this, I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes and held palm branches in their hands, and they were shouting with a great roar, "Salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb."
Heavenly Father, we've just heard truth from your word. Lord, you make it so clear that you love all of us equally, and you expect us to love each other as you love us equally. Lord, you've made it clear that you hate injustice and that we are to speak to injustice. Lord, you ask us to love each other as you love us, and we fall so short of that. So Lord, we come before you. Lord, we ask that you forgive our sins of injustice, of hate, of violence. Lord, our country is in dire straits right now. Many people hurting. So we just pray now that they would be turning to you, the source of all comfort, and that your people, Lord, would be acting on your behalf to show love, to pursue justice, Lord. Lord, you've put us in a country where justice is portrayed as wearing a blindfold. Justice should be blind to all aspects of how you created us, Lord, and should be just dealing with the facts of situations, Lord. So we pray that you would have this country move back to some of its foundational principles that come directly from your truth, Lord. So we pray for hearts to turn to you, and that hearts turn to their fellow citizens of this country and brothers and sisters, that we may, with empathy, listen to what each other has to say and reach out to provide comfort to those who are hurting. Thank you, Lord.
Father God, I'm just so thankful that we can come to your throne of grace, that regardless of the struggles that we have, regardless of the brokenness that's in our own hearts, and regardless of how scared or angry or confused we might be as we see what's happening in this broken world, you love us, and you've shown that through your son Jesus in the most profound way, that you were willing to send him to us, that he was willing to enter into our brokenness, that he was willing not just to become one of us, but to take the punishment and to suffer for us, that even though we are sinners and we did absolutely nothing to earn your love, you were willing to do that for us so that we could have a relationship with you. And Lord, as we look at race relationships in our nation, as we look at the brokenness and the divisiveness that was occurring long before the death of George Floyd and Ahmaud Arbery and these other terrible things that have happened, we see that we need reconciliation. We need reconciliation with one another. We need to be able to show compassion and love and forgiveness toward one another. And we don't know how to do that without you. You're the one that shows us. You're the one that not only showed us, but you offered eternal life. You offered a brand new way of thinking and living and doing that we could not do without you. And so, Lord Jesus, we thank you that you offer us something that we could never, ever have received on our own. It's your grace. And Lord, in this time, we just cry out to you that that you would enable us by the power of your Spirit to show grace, and that we could be grace to those looking for it, that are hurting, that are broken, that are angry. Lord, we're thankful that your word says that we were made in your image. And so as we revel and enjoy the love that you've poured out on us, help us to be like your son Jesus and know how to see other people the way you see them, regardless of their skin color, regardless of their socioeconomic background, how they dress, what their accent is, what country they came from, whatever. Help us to look past that and to conform to the image of your son. He loved every one of us so much that he laid down his life. And Lord, I pray that you'll enable us to do the same. Lord, I know that you reconciled us to yourself by what you did on the cross, and I know you're calling us to do that same thing, to be ministers of reconciliation, to help fix relationships that are broken. And Lord, we're heartbroken right now as we see what's going on in our nation, and we see how there's so much anger, there's so much fear, there's righteous anger in many ways. And Lord, if change doesn't happen with us who are in the church, where does it happen? You've given us your Spirit so that we can repent, so that we can ask for forgiveness, so that we can, by your loving hand, change and be transformed. And so, Lord, I pray that you would give your church white believers, black believers, yellow, red, brown, all of us, that ministry of reconciliation and a heart that wants to change and be molded and transformed by you. And Lord, I pray that you'd give us courage. I pray that you'd give us a deep humility. I pray that you'd give us compassion, and that if we're angry about something, that we should be angry that sin hurts you and that it hurts people. And Lord, I pray that you would allow us to speak into racial injustice and help us to reckon with the history that we have had in the United States, and just know that this is something that's been a real battle, and it's had real consequences for many, many people for generations and generations. Help us to have the courage to want to speak into it with not just truth, but also with love. And Lord, I pray that in this moment in our society, in our culture, that we wouldn't have a desire to kowtow to our liberal friends, that we wouldn't have a desire to appease our conservative friends, but that we would just desire to seek your face and be led by your Spirit and speak and act out your truth in love, and know that that's where the change is going to happen. Lord, we do pray for our law enforcement, and we pray that you would protect them, and that the changes and the reform that might need to take place in police departments, that you would guide police chiefs and administrators and officials. And but Lord, we know that law and order is important, and that without it we would be in big trouble. So we're grateful for those men and women who have taken that oath to serve us and to protect us. And Lord, we pray for the people that are protesting. Injustice is wrong, and we should have a hatred for injustice, just like you do, and a desire to see all people treated equally. And so, Lord, I pray for those protesters that you would just allow their hearts to seek change, but to do it in a peaceful and law-abiding manner. And Lord, I pray for their physical protection, that the bad actors and the people that are trying to manipulate and twist this situation would not be able to harm those that are just seeking change that's needed in our nation right now. And Lord, I pray that for many of us who might not know what we're supposed to do, that we would be okay with being uncomfortable, because Lord Jesus, you yourself have told us that in this life there's going to be trouble, and especially if we're your disciples, there's going to be times when we're going to be very uncomfortable. And Lord, I pray that as a church we'd embrace that and know that it's through the struggle and the even the suffering that you've called us to, as your church, to endure, that that's where growth happens. That's where this desire we have to be salt and be light becomes real. Help us to be okay with being awkward. Help us to reach out and engage with real people of color, with people that are different from us. Jesus, I just love your example, how you engaged with in that culture in which you lived, Samaritan women and prostitutes and people with diseases and people that were from different ethnic backgrounds. That was your heart, was to pursue and relate with people that were different. And so, Father, I pray that that would be our heart as your church, to do that. And Lord, we do pray for the president. We do pray for the mayors. We do pray for the governors, that you would give them special wisdom during this time. And Lord, I know a lot of progress was made during the time of Martin Luther King Jr., but we know that there's still a lot of work to be done. And as your church, the white church, the black church, the brown church, the Hispanic church, the Asian church, help us to keep speaking into this and sharing your truth, because your truth is what's going to stand in the end, not politics, not anything else. Lord, help us to just truly repent and to not be lukewarm about this, but to be passionate about loving people that are hurting, and to be passionate about just rejecting sin and the ugly things that happen because of sin. And Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity that we have as your people to bring all this to you. We don't have the solutions. We really don't. But we know that you do. And we ask that in whatever way you call us to represent you, help us to do that well, and help us to represent your son, Jesus.
Father God, I raise these prayers to you with my brothers. I thank you for the words that Howard and Link have shared, and the prayer that we've given to you is consistent with my heart. Lord, we are able to see with incredible clarity in this year 2020 that our world is broken. Lord, I believe that much of what we're seeing played out is because of sin, the problem of sin that you answered through your son, that he paid the debt, the penalty of our sin on the cross, and that when he rose again, he declared authority for all who would place their faith in him. And so if there's anyone listening today, Lord, that has not yet taken that step, if they've spent this much time with us, they've listened this long, I ask God that you would stir in their heart, that you would let the Holy Spirit remind them that they have a Savior who died on their behalf, who is willing to forgive sins and to help them to repent and to turn from those ways and to guide them in life. And so, Lord, I commit those people to you. I pray that you would help them to take next steps to begin this journey, this relationship with you. I want to ask, God, that you would help me as your child and as a pastor in your church, a leader that you've called me to be, to shepherd others and to love others for you. I ask that you would use these words now, Lord, to encourage us, just as Howard has prayed and Link has prayed, Lord, that you would help us to listen well and to be the people you've called us to be a part of the solution to the problem that we're faced with. And we confess that we don't know exactly how to do that, And that's why we're coming to you, because we believe and trust that you're the one who can work in us to be the type of people that you've created all people to be when they have a relationship with you. And so, Lord, I just want to, again, thank you for the privilege of prayer, that a person like myself, broken, sinful, has been forgiven and now has direct access to your throne because of what Jesus did for me. And I'm grateful for that, Lord, and I come to you now with a heavy heart, just committing these things to you and asking that you would be with our new church, this new budding church, Lord, that you would help us to be a church that starts with these principles that we've laid out these several weeks, that we want to be a church that is founded on your truth and to go to that when we're faced with difficulties in life, to search your scriptures and see what you say about everything that we may encounter in life. And Lord, we want to be a church that shows grace, that loves people, that listens well, like we looked at last week. Lord, we want to be able to worship you not just through singing. I believe that this is a time of worship as well, giving you permission to speak to us, even in moments of silence, and praying together corporately, I believe can bring you honor as well. And Lord, as we've said with our second value, we want prayer to be a foundation. And so, Lord, please take this time as a time that both honors you but also allows the Holy Spirit to change us and to challenge us to take steps to truly represent you well in this world. And we ask, God, that this would be a time in history where revival truly happens, where people turn their hearts to you, where they receive healing from the pain and the brokenness, and where relationships are mended, and where your name is praised, where people see you as being the source of hope. And so we commit this all to you, God. We ask that you would help us as a church family to not just let this be a day that we take a moment to pray and to think and to ponder and to struggle with this, but help this to be something that we would continue to do together. Lord, just asking for you to lead us. How can we respond? How can your Holy Spirit lead us to represent you well in the midst of this broken world? So, Father, we just commit this all into your hands. We thank you for the way that you have already answered our prayers in many ways. And, Lord, I just ask, God, that you would just be with us. Help us to recognize that you always are. Help us not to forget that. And I ask that you would go before us now and help your church to represent you well. I pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. Well, if you've stayed with us this long, I want to thank you for spending time just looking at God's Word and maybe hearing a few guys pray that you don't know all that well yet, but we're just hoping to lead by example. We want you to know that God loves you and that He has a role for you to play in His redemptive plan. If you are a Christ follower today, He has a role for you to play. And if you have not yet taken that step, I pray that this time would cause you to consider a Jesus who loves you as well and who wants to do life with you and who you can talk with when you face the struggles of this life. As Pastor Link prayed, in this world we will have trouble, but Jesus has overcome the world, and He is a resource that we can all turn to. I want to share just a couple things. If you are wanting to reach out, you have a prayer request or something that you want to talk about further, you can always email me, MaderaChurchPastor@gmail.com. We also have a prayer team that would love to come alongside you in prayer. That's MaderaChurchPrayer@gmail.com, so you could reach out to them, and we consider it an honor to pray for your needs. And if you're just struggling with this and you want someone to talk to, we'd count that an honor as well. And so thank you for doing something a little different with us today. This isn't something we've ever tried before, but we pray that it brings God glory. And we'll close with one more song. This is a song that is actually written by a worship leader in Africa. And she wrote this song. It's become very popular. And it is, I think, a good reminder as we close today that our God can make a way in every situation, that He still is a miracle worker. And we believe that he can work in the midst of what seems to be an impossible situation to us. Jesus tells us very boldly in the Gospels that God is able to make the impossible possible. And so even though this division in our country seems like something that is unsolvable, our God is the one that can be the solution to this problem. And so let's be the church to rise up, to speak up for what God stands for, and allow him to work in hearts.